Tuesday morning starting out warm as you would expect this time of year. Maybe a stray shower as well. Otherwise, most of our rain chances holding off until the evening and even into the overnight hours. High temperatures this Tuesday afternoon, low 90s with lows overnight in the middle 70s. By Wednesday, we're back to near 90 for a high temperature. And once again, most of our scattered storms arriving as we head into the evening, a higher flood risk Thursday. For the North Carolina News Network, I'm meteorologist Chris Michaels in the Weather Center.
And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB, and heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
What day is it?
Today is National Hot Enough For Ya Day.
Hot enough for you.
Hot enough for you?
Why would you ask that?
I'm sweating through this blazer.
Hot enough for
you? Why would you ask such a ridiculous question?
It's too hot.
I'm sweating. I'm completely so cool.
Happy National Hot Enough For Ya Day.
It's showtime.
Morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to round two of Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams. With me this morning, David Hensley from the school board. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Moore County and Red Cockaded Woodpeckers. It's good to be talking with you this morning in Radio Free Southern Pines.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on our live audio stream. That's available to you from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com or weeb990.com. Upper right hand corner of every page has an icon that says on the air, listen live. Click that once and it'll carry you to our listen page. And some browsers will automatically start the audio, others you have to press the play button. Other than that, welcome in. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area, well, it's going to be dripping hot, sticky weather.
It is partly cloudy. Sticky. Sorry to interrupt.
Partly cloudy with showers, scattered thunderstorms, 90% chance of rain, high near 90, heat index 99. That's ugly. Partly cloudy tonight, thunderstorms likely low of 74. Wednesday, pretty much a carbon copy of today, with a high of 89, heat index around 100. I mean, it's humid as hell. Thursday, mostly cloudy, thunderstorms in 82, and Friday, mostly cloudy, with thunderstorms in a high of 80. Chance of precipitation Friday is 80%. Right now, around the Sand Hills, winds are calm, pressure 30-15, dew point 74, humidity 98%. It is sunny and 75 degrees currently here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. All right. It is 8:31, 31 past the hour on this titillating Tuesday, is what we call it.
So I have a breaking announcement for everyone. Just came over the wire. I'm sitting there looking at it on the wire. So if you recall, I think that you and Steve Woodward, the great author of the Liberty Digest, I think you've talked about the DEI seminar that's being sponsored, the upcoming DEI seminar that's being sponsored by the Uniparty Swampy Chain U.S. the local Chamber of Commerce, which is a branch of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They, along with Sand Hills Community College, on 15 August, are sponsoring. They're bringing in a renowned proponent of DEI to come in and speak. Right?
Yeah, you remember that?
So here's the announcement: on the same day, Dr. Carol Swain, who is a renowned, she's a former professor at Vanderbilt University who got fed up. She was a tenured professor who got fed up with the wokeism and the DEI that she saw at Vanderbilt University, and she wrote several books on the subject. She resigned her position in Vanderbilt on principle, and she became a renowned anti-DEI didn't earn it, or debt, diversity, equity, and inclusion. She became a leading opponent of that, and a group of people are bringing Dr. Carol Swain in to stage a counter, presentation on the same day. So when the Chamber of Commerce and Sand Hills Community College are using our tax money to bring in a pro-DEI speaker, a group of private individuals have gotten together, and we are bringing in Dr. Carol Swain, who will expose the plague of DEI, which most recently was I think illustrated by the incompetence of the leadership, not the individual agents, but the leadership of the U.S. Secret Service in their failure to protect President Donald J. Trump against a would-be assassin. So anyway, mark your calendars. You no longer have to attend the pro-DEI speaker, because there's going to be a person here who is an expert speaking against and warning people of the dangers of DEI.
All DEI does is push racism back into the equation.
Oh, 100%. Rather than judging, Dr. Martin Luther King taught us that we should judge people by the content of their character, and by extension, the content of their resume and their experience, not the color of their skin.
Yeah.
What these leftist DEI proponents want to do is they want us to judge people on insignificant things such as, race, gender, the color,
they
of
want
a person's
quotas.
Skin. Yeah, they want quotas, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, you heard it here first on the Weeb. Mark your calendar. Time to be determined. But Dr. Carol Swain will be speaking at Sand Hills Classical Christian, specifically to refute who Sand Hills Community College and the Moore County Chamber of Commerce is bringing in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's destroying our school systems, for one.
Oh, it's destroying all our institutions. It's making companies less competitive. It destroys companies. It destroys government. It destroys everything it touches.
Well, since you're on the school board, let's cover a few things. Number one, the illegal aliens. They affect every state, county, city, town in this country. And the government, I always say government, because that's the way government employees talk. Government tells you got to have DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, into your equation. And they also tell you must take and educate these illegal, keyword illegal, aliens who, keyword, don't give any taxes to this community, but want to take our benefits out of our community and give it to themselves, and you have to teach them. Now, as far as I know, that's a must because of the government. I tell the government where to stick it and go about my way of running the schools. But I'm sure there's some hindrance in the way known as we'll keep our money here. Why do we have to educate these illegal aliens with mine and your hard-earned money?
Well, so let's first say, Steve, you're absolutely correct in your initial statement that we are required by law, as is every public school, is required by law to educate all students regardless of their immigration status. And so, you know, whether we like it or not, you know, and perhaps it's our moral duty to educate, you know, all children who show up at our doorstep. So that's where we're at.
Why is our moral duty when they're from Nicaragua?
Well, you know, you know, that is a good, valid question and something I would expect a conservative to ask. And the answer is, you know, because it's, you know, makes for a better society is the fact of the matter.
Well, we're down to our money.
No, correct. And I will address that. But the fact of the matter is, whether we like to or not, we have to educate these children.
Well, they can't even speak English to get educated is the problem. So what does the government tell you to do? Put a translator with them. There's another big ticket item for you.
Well, we are in the education business, so, you know.
I got a better idea for your education business. If you must, and I don't think you must do anything with foreigners. You know, we're already paying their food, water, shelter, benefits. Go to the emergency room one day and try to get checked in, and you go in and the hallways are all covered all the way around the edges with gurneys. And who's in the gurneys? Illegals.
Well, let me say,
taken away from you. Well, I am not through yet. That one thing we could, if you're just so determined to educate them, well, first they should go to an English class all day, every day, until they can speak English as a second language proficiently enough to learn something in a classroom. And only when they pass out of that class do they get into the regular class, if we must teach them, which I still object to. I want to know from you, being a school board member, how many of these illegals do we have in our schools, and how much does each one cost?
Well, first, let me say thank you for not pulling out a gavel. And, you know, when I tried to speak earlier, thank you for not pulling out a gavel and beating it on your desk and saying, Mr. Hensley, you're
that's
out of order.
Mr. Hensley.
That's enough, Mr. Hensley, because, you know, I will just sit here and, you know, politely and quietly listen to what you have to say. Anyway, so that's a very good question, and that's actually something I'm trying to find out. So, you know,
I have several.
No, the one about the cost. So let me answer it this way. I'm doing this off the top of my head because, you know, I wasn't, you know, it's not like I showed up with a binder full of notes, but we spend about $12,000 per child educating. By the way,
that's for Moore County children.
Moore County, right.
Well, guess what? We got to spend more on the illegals them up the running speed.
So we spend, you know, if we take the total amount of the budget, operational budget, not counting construction, divided by the number of students, we spend around $12,000 per student, which, by the way, if you go and check tuition rates, that is more than any private school in Moore County. So, you know, Moore County Public Schools spends more than Sand Hills Classical Christian to educate a child. Anyway, that's an aside. So approximately 25% of that, or $3,000, it might be $3,500, somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 of that is local funding. So we spend $3,000 of your money, $3,500, whatever, of your taxpayer money for every child we educate. So, again, keeping in mind that we...
So the federal government's spending $9,000.
No.
By your math, we are.
The funding sources, by far the biggest part is the state, then local, and federal is a very, very, very small part.
Outside government.
So anyway, I wanted to find this out, and I asked the superintendent. I've previously asked the superintendent. I said, "Hey, I would like to know how many illegal alien children we have in Moore County schools," and he refused to answer it. And his response was, Well, you know, we would have to make some assumptions, which may or may not be true. Okay, that's his exact words. So, let's talk about this. First of all, education.
Well, let's back up. Who's in charge, him or you? Meaning the school board.
Well, the school board. Well, the school board is in charge, but not an individual member of the school board. The school board at large is in charge. So anyway, the school board's in charge. Dr. Locklear understands the school board's in charge. I haven't finished my I haven't finished the conversation between me and Dr. Locklear because it's not over yet. So I asked him, and he said, no, you know, we can't provide those numbers because in order to provide them, we'd have to make some assumptions which are not true. So let's talk about this for a minute. If there's one thing academia does is produce reams of information. If I want to know how many left-handed basketball players we have in middle school, by God, they got a statistic for that. If you want to know test score performance, if you want to know extracurricular activity participation based, you know, broken down by race, gender, social, economic. We've got dozens of people in the central office who do nothing but crunch numbers and provide statistics. The amount of statistics that public schools track and produce are just overwhelming. I mean, we spend a tremendous amount of money on that. But there's one statistic that you cannot get out of any public school anywhere in the world, and that is the number of illegal aliens enrolled. And that's by design. It is against the law to ask citizenship status of a student.
I think we have a right to know who's going to our schools that right. We are paying for.
Right. So continuing my conversation with Dr. Locklear is he said, well, gosh, we might have to make assumptions that aren't true. And my response was, well, okay, I mean, you do reports. We all do reports all day long. Almost all reports are based upon assumptions. So
particularly if you're doing projected
Well,
reports.
Well, you know, you always make assumptions. The important thing is, you know, you guys figure it out. You do the report and you put the assumptions in the bottom, you know, in the notes. Here's the assumptions we made. And then we can read what the report says. And then we can read what the assumptions are.
I bet what it says is before we can turn around, we got to have another high school, another middle school, another elementary school.
That's not true. And I'll tell you why. So first of all, I want to say that the academic industrial complex doesn't produce the numbers of illegal aliens in our schools because they don't want people to know. Because if they wanted people to know, like I said, there are reams and reams and reams and piles of binders and crap of statistics. Everyone knows this. They are intentionally not reporting it. So let's talk about why. The reasons why are, if you look at the enrollment of Moore County schools, the total number of students in Moore County schools over the last decade, I've shown this chart many, many times. The number of students in Moore County schools, in spite of the huge explosion, the enormous explosion in the number of families we have in Moore County in the last decade, the number of students enrolled in Moore County schools has stayed essentially the same over the last decade. I think the number is it's less than 100. We have less than 100 more students in 2024 than we had in 2014. And you say, well, gosh, David, how could that be? Well, the fact of the matter is parents vote with their feet. And, you know, when all the wokeism, when all that crap was implemented by the previous school board, parents voted with their feet and they sought out alternatives. They sought out charter schools. They sought out private schools. They sought out homeschooling. God bless homeschoolers. Those are the people who are truly making a sacrifice to educate their children. So the key is you got to look at market share. In 2010, Moore County schools had 85%. Of the school-age children in Moore County. Today, Moore County Schools has less than 70%. I think it's close to 65%. The fact of the matter is, Moore County Schools, like all public schools around the world, are hemorrhaging students. So who's making up the delta?
So you're saying we got less students, and so we got like a 35% surplus of space?
No, that's not what I said. What I said is
that's what the math
over the last over the last 10 years, we have essentially the same number of students, but as a market share, instead of having 85% of the students, we have close to 65%. Moore County schools, like all public schools, has lost 20% of the market share. We have by the way, what's really overcrowded in Moore County are our high schools. Our elementary and middle schools have excess capacity, to your point. But anyway, so the motivation of the academic industrial complex is dollars. Because they get dollars for those students. And if it wasn't for the illegal aliens, most of which who go to public schools for, you know, economic reasons and other reasons, if it wasn't
and
for...
to eat our food.
You know, what, you know, we feed children and we feed...
Twice a day.
Sure. We absolutely do that. So anyway, if you look at it from the academic industrial complex, those students... those illegal aliens in the schools, they protect their jobs because, you know, if Moore County was down to 50% of market share, then there'd be layoffs in the central office because we couldn't support that overhead. So the academic industrial complex don't want those numbers reported for many reasons, one of which is that is plugging the gap of the hemorrhage of students away from public schools. But let's look at why I want these numbers. I want these numbers, A, because I want the citizens, you know, I'm for transparency, and I want the citizens of Moore County to know how many illegal aliens we have in our schools.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And the central office refuses to present. It's not a big ask. We have to educate them anyway. I want people to know. And here's why I want people to know. Because once I know that number, and I'm making this up, I have no idea what it is because they're intentionally hiding it. And I don't mean they in the central office. I'm talking academic. My God, they produced a law saying you can't ask. So they obviously ask the students. You cannot. It is against the law to ask students or parents when they enroll their immigration status. So they want it hidden so bad that they passed a law to prevent people
from asking. Ask them if they can speak English fluently.
Well, so
then you'll know.
No, that's my point to the superintendent. Well, we can't ask, and you know, to find out we'd have to make assumptions. Okay, tell me how many students that are English as their second language. Well, that's making assumptions. Yeah, I know that's making assumptions, but you know, that's how you back into numbers. But here's the larger point. Once I know, and let's say it's 10%. Right. Let's say it's 10% of the students. And I'm just making that up. I have no idea because they're intentionally hiding it. Let's say it's 10%. And let's say our local budget is, you know, the taxpayers of Moore County are spending, $40 million. Again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but let's say the local spend is $40 million and 10% of the students are illegal aliens, then that's $4 million of local taxpayer money that is being used to support the education of illegal alien, the children of illegal aliens. I'm not making a value judgment on it. I'm not either saying I'm for it or against it, but I think that people have a right to know. And here's another point. Let's say that we have an 8% shortage of teachers. Let's say we have a 5% shortage of teachers. I'm just making these numbers up because I asked the superintendent in open session last school board meeting. I asked in open session the superintendent the number of vacancies we currently had in Moore County schools, and he wouldn't answer that question. So I don't know how many teachers we have, but let's say it's 5%. So let's say we have a shortage of 5% of our teachers, and let's say illegal aliens are 10% of our student population. If those illegal aliens weren't here, we'd have a surplus of children, a surplus of teachers. If those illegal aliens weren't here, our class sizes would be smaller, and we'd have more teachers than we needed. So the cost of illegal aliens isn't just the, you know, using the numbers I just cited, the $4 million of taxpayer money that we spend every year to educate them. It's also creating a teacher shortage and a shortage of other resources, such as coaches and whatnot. So in the name of transparency, we must find out the percentage of students in our schools that are that are illegal, that are not in this country illegally, and we must let the citizens of Moore County know, and we must put that in terms of, okay, here's the percentage of illegal aliens, here's how much it's costing us in dollars, and if we didn't have these illegal aliens here, our class sizes would be 10% smaller, and we would have no shortage of teachers. That's why I want to know, and that's why I want the citizens to know, and that's exactly why the academic industrial complex doesn't want people to know.
Yeah. So I don't see the need for that academic complex. I mean, if a kid wants to learn something specific like bricklaying or foundations,
don't get me started on VOTech,
carpentry or whatever.
Yeah, don't get me started on CTE.
They can go there and take it on their own. We don't have to have a bus take them over there, spoon feed them, and bring them back.
Well, CTE and VOTech has always been a part of our education, Steve. But if you remember, here's why I'm very unhappy with the VOTech and CTE, not just in Moore County schools, but you know, elsewhere. But let's talk Moore County. Is when you and I, Steve, when you and I were in high school, and students that were in the VOTech course, they would graduate. Ready. When they graduated high school, they were ready to go work in a machine shop. They were ready to go build houses. They were ready to immediately go to work for Crossroads Ford or Cooper Ford or Pinehurst Toyota as an auto mechanic. When I was stationed in Quantico, Virginia, I had a good friend of mine whose son went to I can't remember the name of the county. The county up there, you know, the schools outside of Quantico, and his student graduated as a Cisco certified engineer, not taking an Adobe Acrobat class or not taking an that his son graduated as a Cisco certified engineer, ready to go out at 18 years old as a professional IT. Fast forward to 2024, and our high school today, their mantra is, oh, once you graduate high school, then you can go to Sand Hills Community College, and in 2 years, you can be ready for a career. Mm-hmm. That's unsatisfactory because 15, 20, 30 years ago, students graduated from high school with the same skills that our public schools now tell the students that they have to go to community college to learn. That's unacceptable. It's unsatisfactory. And we have to start truly not just paying lip service to producing career-ready students, but we have to actually do it.
Well, I would put on my list.
Yes, sir.
Number one.
I'm
like
making a list. I got it here.
Like I told you, was to... Until a student can speak English as a second language, they don't get to take regular school.
Well, you know, that's my opposition. Robbins Elementary, which is a chronically failing school, by the way, they have a dual language enrollment program where they do exactly the opposite. Steve, you are absolutely correct.
Well, they can't merge into society or assimilate. Unless they can speak the language.
Look, if I want to learn, when special forces dudes when Green Beret dudes and dudettes go to learn their language in Monterey, you know, when they learn German or Farsi or Spanish or whatever, you know, they go to the Defense Logistics Agency or Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California, and it's a high-intensity training. They're immersed in it. Then they go to the country and they're immersed in it, right? Well, in Robbins Elementary, they have the dual language immersion program where half the day the classes are taught in Spanish. Well, that's not going to rapidly get our students, you know, our English learners to learn English. You are absolutely correct.
Well, that's going to make all the influx of illegals go to Robbins, where they can speak the language.
Well, there's many reasons why our immigrants end up in Robbins, but the point is that you know, you learn a new language by immersing yourself in it. You don't learn it by having half of your instruction taught in your native language like they do in Robbins, and that's why I'm actually against I don't even know how we can do it. Dual language immersion programs, it is illegal according to North Carolina general statute to teach a class in anything other than English. But here's Moore County Schools in Robbins Elementary, a continually chronically failing school, really violating North Carolina law and teaching classes in foreign languages.
Well, they violated the law when they crossed the line at the border. And if they can get away with doing that in Robbins, hell, let's kick them all out and send them back.
Let's talk about illegal immigration for a minute, because I'd like to make this point.
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's how I'll make the point, get in, get out, look, everybody wants a better life for themselves, and everybody wants a better life for their child. And if you lived in economic despair in Central or South America, you know, they're like parents anywhere else. They're like parents in Afghanistan. They're like parents in Ukraine. They're like parents in Iraq.
Well, they can go to their voting booth and vote their government out.
Well, that's true. But like parents everywhere, they want a better life for their child. And when you have someone like Biden and Harris who have open-door policies coupled with a welfare state and basically say, come on in, welcome to the promised land, illegally, then of course parents, you know, those parents are doing what you and I, Steve, if you and I were in Central or South America and had families and we lived in despair and the Biden-Harris administration said, hey, come here illegally and we will educate your child, we'll feed him twice a day and we'll give you housing and this and that, you would do the same thing. So it's human nature to do that. I don't condemn the people. I condemn Biden and Harris and the federal government for the open door policy that is allowing this. I'm done. That's it.
Done. All right. Well, David, thanks for coming in today and
yes, sir. Anytime.
Explaining part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get those, Steve, I'm going to get those numbers because I'm putting on the agenda for next. And I've got the support of, I don't have the support of Chair Levy on this because he doesn't want those numbers published. He's publicly said that. But I do have the support of a couple other school board members. So we're going to get on the agenda. We're going to find out.
Okay. All right, David, thanks. And so it goes for this Tuesday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a hump day Wednesday. That's what we're looking for. It's downhill after that. And in the meantime, be sure to support all the mom and pop businesses you hear on our station because they're local and they make their living here and they support our community. We need to support them by giving them first crack at your spending dollars. And also, if you want to have a successful business, you can't just open doors. You got to tell them about it. And that's where we come in. Talk radio, the most effective form of advertising there is on the planet. All right, that's it for me. The leader man, Nick and Colt the dog, will all see you this afternoon at the dog park.
When I come back,